Okay, we're continuing the Rambam, the 19th chapter of Hilchos Malva, Lov Halacha Aleph. Okay, now we're going to talk about collecting the different creditors and what you're allowed to collect from and what the order is and things like that. Kishyordim Bezdin Lenichse Halova Ligvos Mehem, when the Bezdin goes down to collect from the borrower, to collect from the borrower, Lo Yigvul Abalchov Elamina Beinonis. You only collect from the borrower from the average land that he has, the Beinonis. Shivakarkos of his land. Now we know as a Machlokas and Gomorrah Baba Kama, when they collect and they value the value of land, how do they value it? Do they value it by what the borrower's land is worth, or what, how we would value that in terms of the world value of the land? Because it could be there's a land value in the world, what's considered the cheapest land, what's considered average, and what's considered very expensive. But then on the other hand, we could look at the borrower himself, and he may have qualities of land that even his best land can be average land. And therefore, we'd have to look at his lands that way. So if you look carefully, the Rambam paskins by saying, Shibakarko Sav, of his land. You look at the Beinonis of his land, of the borrower. So you look at what the borrower has, and from his land that's left, we collect from the average amount of land. But the truth of the matter is, v'din Torah, but biblically, she'igva b'alchov min aziburis. Really, when you're collecting, the creditor is collecting from the land of the borrower, really he can only collect from the cheapest land. And what's this for? This is biblically. Shenemar, because the Torah says, b'chutz tamud. You stand on the outside. If you're the creditor and you want to collect, you have to stay outside. And the one you want to collect the money from, he'll go in his house and he'll give you. In other words, you can only take what the borrower who you're collecting from is going to give you. Now, if you are the borrower and you have to give something worth $100, are you going to give the nicest thing you have to give him worth $100? You're going to want to give him the cheapest thing you have that's worth $100. You're not going to give him the best stuff. Let's say you have to give him $100 worth of land. Now, generally, the nicer land is the one you want to keep. So if you have an option, and we're giving the option of the borrower is the one who returns the money or the land. So what is he going to give naturally? Mar Darko Shalom Lotzi, what would the person who's being collected from give? Pacha Shebekelev, from the cheapest of what he has. So therefore, if he'd have to give the land, that's what the Torah is saying. It's not that we say that the borrower can go and take what he wants, then he would take the best. We're saying it's the lender who's able to, that was a big save, Reeve. You don't know how big you're coming in was just now. You'll see. So anyway, the borrower, he's the one who's not going to want to give away such great land. So the borrower will be able to, give him the cheapest land. So poskov. But, so that's biblically. But if we're going to let that happen biblically, then what's going to happen? A guy who lends money saying, wait a minute, if I'm going to lend him money, and then if he doesn't have the money, what's he going to give me? Really lousy land. Really lousy land I don't want. So I'm not going to lend him money anymore. The rabbis made a decree that he has to give him that Beinonis, at least the average land. So then the creditor won't feel so bad. He's at least getting average land. We don't want to close the door to people who are borrowing money. Now, b'med, for memorim, when do we say this halacha? Baboli pora minalova atzmo. If you want to collect from the borrower himself, because that's a likely scenario, and in a likely scenario, the lender would be very cautious about it, and he would say, I'm not going to want to lend the guy money if I know I'm going to get lousy land in return. Avolebali pora minayorshim, but what do you want to collect? Let's say the lender, the borrower has died. And now I want to collect from the inheritors. Bein ketani, bein gadol, regardless, inheritors are young or older. Then liyipara eliminizipurus. Then we go back, look at the biblical law, and you collect from the cheapest. Why do we do that? First of all, I want to benefit the inheritors, but also it's not the likely scenario. The most likely scenario of not being to collect your money claim from land is to collect it from the lender. It's not usual the lender dies and the inheritors come, and therefore you're collecting from those inheritors. Therefore, what we're saying is, we go back to the biblical law in that situation, and you collect from the ziburis, you collect from the cheapest amount of land.
That's not going to change commerce either, is it?
Really? No, because it's not the usual case. That's not the usual case.
Yeah. Opposite side.
Okay, let's continue. Okay, we're on halacha beis now. Okay, after we discuss collecting from the lands that are meshubad, that are leaned against, Okay.
So we say so, the middle for the irregular, and it's when you're assuming you take the least.
The least. Okay. Base. Ein nifraim minachosim mishubadim b'makom sheyesh nachosim b'nei chorim. We don't take properties that are lien, that have been sold, in a situation when there are still properties that the owner has not sold that he still has. And this will mean even though that the ones collecting will be collecting from inferior property. Even the property that the borrower still has that he has not gotten rid of is the inferior quality of land. And the properties that have sold already to other people subsequent to the loan are benonis, are average type of land. Oedis, or even better types of land. Now, that, of course, why is the Rambam mentioning better land? The creditor can't collect from better land. That's a situation we'll learn later, a case of mazik, a case of a damager, where a damager is allowed to collect from the better land. So now, even so, if the person who owes the money still has property, has not sold, even though it's the inferior property, doesn't matter if the other properties that are average or better, if he sold them, and he gave it to other people, it doesn't matter. You're always collecting the property that the borrower or the damager has with him right now. Because with people who bought it, they're going to say, well, when we bought the land, we made sure to leave over other land that you can collect from. Because really, the lien is on whatever property he has. That's the first thing that gets collected. Only later we go to the properties that he sold. So this would be a situation where the person who is the creditor will get the inferior property, even though he should be getting the average property, because that's been sold. However, nishtatfu, what if the property that's been left over has been washed out, and now it's totally of no value? B'nei Chorin, the property that he did not sell got totally wiped out because of rains and whatever, or the waters wiped it out. Hareza Tarvin Shvavim. Then you collect from the property that was sold already, because Kevin Shanishkasu, since that property that he has been destroyed, Kiluayim, it's like that property's not there anymore, and therefore you must now go to the properties that have been sold.
Is that the same ruling if there was an epotiki on the
I don't know. Gimel.
Can I just ask one question about this whole thing about value? I mean, we talk about it as if two properties have the same value, but one's better property than the other. Wouldn't the market move the value so that...
I don't understand. We're going by what the person owns. So what he owns, if he has three properties, right. So the property that's the least, the worst is the inferior one. The one in the best one is the superior one, and the one in between is the average.
He has to pay back the value of the loan, right?
He pays back the loan, and he sells the property based on that. So if he has a loan of $100 and the properties are worth $500, $800, and $900, you parcel off part of the land. You don't give the entire piece of land. He only has to pay back $100. So you sell him one-fifth of a piece of inferior land that costs $500. Or he could sell the land himself and just give the cash out.
I guess what I'm wondering is...
The creditor cannot get more than $100 worth of land.
What, 10 acres at Richmond Hill or half acre at Young, you know...
Right, so that's the point. They
you can only collect... Yes, but people would prefer a higher quality land. Even though it costs the same, it's easier to sell, it's easier to deal with.
Okay. That's all.
That's everybody wants better land. Nobody wants worse land. Halacha Gimel is a very difficult halacha. So we have to understand the background to this halacha. We're up to now, we've been dealing with people who owe money and they've sold their property, and we're going to go after the people who have sold the property. Now, what happens if the sold property now gets resold again? So the lien can sometimes continue to go to the next person who brought the property, and sometimes not. And there's going to be all kinds of different rules that will depend on. And therefore, that will now require us now that when people buy property, it's not good enough to buy property from a person who bought it from somebody else. You now will have to make your deed search to go to the person that you bought it from him, who did he buy it from, and to see if he possibly bought it from somebody who has outstanding loans from somebody else when he sold it. That's how far now you're going to have to start checking things under certain circumstances, because the lien is still there no matter how far it's transferred. Only under certain circumstances, which the Rambam will begin to explain in this halacha. Basically, the halacha we're going to have here is that Reuven owes money to Shimon. Reuven has properties. So what does he do? Well, you know what? Yes, Reuven is the loveh, so he has a number of properties. Let's say he has three properties, okay? So, and let's say he has properties of all three different qualities. So Reuven, who now owes money, he's the loveh, he owes money to somebody else, to the lender. Shemochar kol sedosav. So now when he made the loan, all his property was leaned, it could potentially be collected if he doesn't pay. What did he do after the loan? He sold all his properties, every single piece of land. He now has no land left. And he sold it l'shimon. He sold it to Shimon, who is the lokeach. Now, before the loan is due or whatever, v'chazer Shimon. Now Shimon goes along, umachar, and he sells soda achas mehem. He sells one property, l'levi. To Levi, who is now the second lokeach on this piece of property. Now let us add, Rambam doesn't say it, but we have to add in between the lines here. Now the property he sells to Levi is Beinonis, average property. And that's property that is what normally should be collected for a loan that is not paid off. Now, Ubal Chov Shel Reuven. Now the creditor of Reuven wants to collect from Reuven. Reuven says, they ain't got no money. Well, I know you had properties. Well, I sold them all to Shimon. So he's going to go to Shimon. And when he goes to Shimon, Shimon says, well, hang on. I've already sold some of my property to Levi. Some of that property that was leaned against, especially that Beinonis, yeah, is what you're entitled to collect from. So now look at this halacha. Rotza, if the creditor wants, Mizekova, he can collect from the first seller, Aratza Mizek, first buyer, Aratza Mizekova, he can buy from the second buyer. But it has to be under certain circumstances. Bamed Varmum, under what circumstances does he have the option from both? Truly, he's always got the option from the first guy. Because the first guy's got property already, and he's the first lien no matter what his property is. He can even collect from the best property that's there, if that's all that's left. Because he's first, lien. Lien number one is on him. But for him to be able to go to number two, there's going to have to be a couple circumstances for him to go to number two, or he cannot go to number two. But when can he go to buyer number two? You have to have two conditions. Number one, first of all, kishalakach levi beinonis. The second buyer has to buy beinonis, average land. Because if he didn't buy average land, then he has no right to collect from him, because the first collection comes from the average land. So the first buyer bought cheap, average, expensive land. Well, the creditor can go after that average land. That's what he really should be going after. Now, if the first buyer sells to the second buyer and doesn't sell any average land, then there's no reason to go to the second buyer because there's no average land to collect. It only is staying by the first buyer. Why would you go to the other guy who bought either inferior or superior land? That's not what the lien is really first against. The lien is first against the average land. So if the second buyer didn't buy average land, there's nothing to talk about. You can only go after the first buyer and collect after the average land. But then it's still not enough. Even if he buys from the average, it's not enough. But wait a minute. If the second buyer buys the superior or inferior land, he can't collect from the second buyer, Levi, because he doesn't have the average land. Because the second buyer will say, that's why I went out of my way to buy either superior or inferior land, because I know that you don't have rights to collect it. That's why I was sure to buy that. So that's number one. He has to have to be able to collect from the second buyer. He has to at least have bought the average land. But that's not enough. And even if Levi buys Beinonis, it's still not good enough. If he left from the first buyer, didn't buy all the Beinonis land. If he left some of the Beinonis with the first buyer anyway, let's say there were two properties of Beinonis that the first buyer bought, and he only sold one Beinonis to the other guy, like the Beinonis he bought, he left the Beinonis with the first buyer, ain't a Torah of Levi. The creditor cannot collect from Levi either, because the same thing. Because Levi tells the creditor, I left you place to collect from the first buyer. So therefore, the only time you can really go to the second buyer is if the buyer has bought Beinonis, A, and he's bought all the Beinonis. And then there's no Beinonis left. Now, therefore, if you're a second buyer and you're buying land, you've got to do a lot of investigations now, because you have to always standard procedure, because what you're buying, you don't even know if it's Beinonis land, because you have to know what the original borrower's land was worth. So therefore, you'd have to be doing all kinds of credit deed searches over here. You're buying a piece of land, you're going to have to ask the guy, who did you ever buy this land from? And he said, well, I bought it from him. And now you're going to have to ask him, if you bought it from him, did he possibly have any loans that were outstanding before you bought it from him? And if you did, I'd like to do a deed search on all the property that the borrower had to know what kind of property I'm buying from you now, to know if I could have to pay the loan that hasn't gotten paid back. So now you can understand why a lawyer would charge you money to do the processing of the deeds, because it's going to be a lot of research has to go in for this person to have to collect. So it's not a simple issue. Jewish title searches were here long before the secular world had title searches. Yeah.
I think we said if we make rules too complicated, it's going to bring commerce to a halt.
Right.
Because people will be afraid to deal with each other.
Yeah. Well, we won't be. It's two things. We have to balance commerce. We have to balance being able to lend money to the poor. And if we don't have some kind of system for the creditor to collect, he'll never lend money to the poor. And then people will rape and pillage. And that's where you breed ganavos, which is certainly never good for commerce. If you want to have commerce and guys don't have food and they go and break in and steal things from you, that's never good for commerce. So we have to balance the needs of the poor versus the needs of the commerce. And that's how Chazal have found to make that balance. All you have to do is do research. And that's not such a terrible thing. You want to buy a piece of land, as I said, I want to see all the deeds that you have. Let me see the shtaros. Yeah. Would you ever buy any property today? Somebody say, here, it's my land. Do you have any deeds? No. Do you have any proof? No. So would you ever buy it?
No.
Forget about commerce. You wouldn't buy it. So you want to buy a piece of land from a yid. You say, okay, where did you get this from? Well, I bought it from Chaim. Do you have a deed? Yeah, here it is. Okay, now I'm going to call and call Chaim Yankel, who sold you. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to do research. That's all. That's due diligence. Is not going to take away from commerce. That's like in anything in business. And a guy sells you something, it's a piece of junk. How is it going to do with business? You have to check everything else. The same thing.
Is there a statute of limitations on this?
I don't know.
If there was an 8-year loan or a 10-year loan and he sold it to him, like, right,
well,
the pet
Shemitah, no. Shemitah should take care of a lot of that, shouldn't it?
So the loan gets.
Unless people do prusbols. So it depends. If you don't have a prusbol, then it's a 7-year. If there's no prusbols, you'd have to see if there's prusbols. Now you'd have to go and check out how old is that loan.
Yeah.
If the loan is after, before a Shemitah year occurred, then there's property sold afterwards, then you have to go and go to the creditor and say, did you write a prusbol?
Okay.
These are all things that have to be checked out in order to know what to do.
Rabbi, did we say the average is determined based on what the person owns at the time?
The borrower
owns.
That's
what Rambam says. Right.
So I don't know if prices go up. But
you
have
a really garbage property and very highly expensive. You could still come up with some average property within that.
If he has.
What if he had no average system?
Well, then that makes it complicated. It makes it very complicated. Dalid.
Like with the lender.
I don't know.
That's the Rambam. Just send the letter in.
Dalid. Now, Kvar Bayarn already explained. Now he gives us the overall rule of general collections. Shanizokin Shomin Lohen Beidis. If you damage somebody and you don't have the money to pay, and now we're going to collect from his property, from a damager, we collect from the superior property that he has. Ubachov, but a creditor, rabbinically we say, Bebeinonis, what the average property has. Uksevis Isha, and if your wife wants to collect the ksuva, Beziburis from the cheapest property. Now the question is, let's say this fellow has all these three different types of creditors. He divorced his wife, he damaged somebody, and owes somebody money.
Oh boy.
And now you have three people who want to collect property from him. Depending on what properties he has, what can they collect from? So now, Hoyulo, let's say he has, and obviously if he has all three, it's very simple. If he has three different qualities of property, each creditor collect the properties coming to them. But now the question is, what if he has enough property, but not enough property to cover the cost, but not enough different kinds of property to satisfy everybody? So let's go through a number of possible scenarios. Hayolo edis v'siburis. If he only has edis and siburis, he's got two kinds, and that's it. So one kind will be the inferior, and one will be the superior. You can't call it average.
That was sort of my question.
If there's only two, well, we'll see. We'll discuss this. But anyway, that's all he's got right now. So let's see now. Well, obviously, Nizukin, the guy we damaged, yeah, is supposed to collect Be'idis from the superior property because that's halacha as it is. Well, the only problem really is the Baal Chov, because the Baal Chov is supposed to collect from the average, which we don't have. Well, the halacha is Baal Chov uksuvas isha b'ziburis. So then the Baal Chov and the woman collect from the ziburis. The woman obviously collects from the ziburis. Baal Chov, we go with the biblical law now. Yeah. The biblical law was ziburis. The rabbi said, not to close it out, we give him average, but we're not going to go that far to give him the superior. So we have to fall back to the biblical law under those circumstances, which again is not a usual circumstance.
I think that's the answer to my question. If he only had superior and garbage property,
that's all he has. That's what he gets. Now, let's go through another scenario. How you long idis upenionis? He has superior and average. Now the question is, how could you even have that scenario of superior and average? Or the other kind of case. So we have to say, the commenters say he must have had a time before three types of properties.
Right.
And now he sold off one before any of this business was involved with. And now he has, what we can confirm is average and better
superior
property. Superior. Now there was a time when he had all three types of property and he long ago sold the other one before any of the issues were at hand. So now he's got the higher and the medium. So really, everybody gets what's coming to them. The question is, what about the woman who's below her? Well, the answer is going to be obvious. Nizukin be'idis, the one who he damaged against, gets the superior amount. Ubal Chov, the creditor, and also the ksuvas isha, the woman's ksuva benos, gets the average because she has to get something, so she gets an upgrade because there's nothing lower to give her. Last scenario. What if he only had the inferior quality and the average quality alone? Again, he must have had other property before that was superior that he sold off before. Well, Nizakin, the one who he damaged, the Ubal Chov and the creditor Beveros gets Benonis because we don't have anything better to give the one that he damaged anyway. Uksuvas Isha b'Ziburus, the woman who collects her Kesuv from the Ziburus, as is the halacha that should be for her. Okay, let's go to halacha hey. Now things are going to get very interesting and they get more complicated as we go. Hey's not going to be too bad. And we'll probably end it. Hey. So far we've given you a case where a guy owes three different people, but he had three different pieces of land or two different pieces of land, but he's able to deal with all this and he hasn't sold anything. It's just what he had. Now we're going to start dealing with selling properties. So let's say he did the following. Halacha hey. Let's say he sold up, we have three types of property. You have the average, inferior, and superior properties. He had enough of that property. Let's even say he had hundreds of dollars worth of properties. Okay, you'll see in a minute. He sold it to three separate people at the same time. Now, how could he sell at the same time? The answer is as follows. If the date of the sale, they
same
were
day.
Sold on the same day. Now, really, you would there would lechayer be one was sold before the other, but there was no time written on the star.
Okay.
Since you don't write a time on it, you write a date, then they're all treated as if they were sold at the same time. That's important, because if it was not at the same time, one before the other, we would have a priority of how to collect. Because you always go with what you left over, the last one buying is the first one collecting. So we have to take that out of the equation. How do we do that? By saying they bought it on the same day, but no time was written. So we have to treat all three of them equally. That's the scenario over here. So now the guy has three different types of creditors, right? The woman, the damagee, and the lender. Now they all want to collect from him. He doesn't have anything because he sold all his three different types of properties to three different people. So now what happens? So they all go under the original owner's responsibility. And now we're going to collect from all three of them. The person who was damaged, he will collect from the superior property. Ubal Chov Toref Mina Beinonis, the creditor will collect from the average property, Uksuvas Isha Torefas Mina Siburus, and one collects her Ksuva from the cheaper property,
so no
because
there.
That's just an obvious scenario, even though that's the simple scenario. We're just saying this applies to him, And if he sells the properties, the same rule applies to the three guys who we sold them. And that's the simple halacha that's setting us up for more complicated ones coming up. Now, what if it's mecharen lezeh achar zeh? What if he sold one guy and the next guy and the third guy?
So there's three
and there's three
the
different
chart.
Dates on it, three different qualities. Okay, now it could be any type of scenario. You could have the most expensive guy. Well, we'll see over here. But you see, the last guy could have a very expensive quality to sell, or the last guy could have a very cheap quality to sell. Might not fit to the collectors who would want to get what's coming to them. So anyway, that's where you have one after another. And the general rule again is, if I buy the property, if I've left other properties, that I intentionally left those properties for future creditors to collect for the properties that I left. So, I sold the guy who owes all these things. He sold these properties one after the other. Kulam, Torfin, Mina, Akron. All the three different creditors collect from the last guy, and it doesn't matter what type of property that last one is, better or worse, it doesn't matter. Because when you're the last guy buying the property, you ask the guy, what's the story, mister? Says, you know, he asks him, do you have any outstanding damage payments you have to make? Do you have a woman that you have a ksuva on that you have to pay? Do you have loans outstanding? He says, yes, yes, and yes. Well, were there other properties? Yes, I already sold their properties. You're the last property I have.
Uh-oh.
So now the first two guys who bought the land, they said, are there any of their properties? Yes, it's all right. Okay, I don't have to worry. I have to worry because they sold their properties. And even though they asked, let's say each property is worth $600. Each one. Let's say the three creditors all want to collect $200. So when the guy buys the first property, he says, okay, how much are your outstanding debts?
$600.
Well, that's okay. There's two more properties each worth $600. I don't have to worry. Second guy buys the properties. I don't have to worry.
Same question.
One more property. They'll all collect, no matter what they should collect in terms of value, they're all collecting the last property because they got off the hook. That's the way it works, regardless if people will be upgraded or downgraded from things like that. We don't say, for example, well, let's see now, who needs to collect? So one who should collect a certain amount, and if you're not leaving that property over, no, because remember the original rule. When I buy from you, as long as you leave any land, that's the land that's collected. So that's the same thing. You left it. So you haven't sold it yet, and people can collect from that property. It's not my problem if it's a worse or better quality. Fine. But now, that's all good lesson. But what if, lo hispik, what if from the last guy, there's not enough money from the last guy to pay out all the creditors? So now what do we do? Tarfa Mishov, you go to the second last guy who bought. Now, and he's going to have a different quality of land either. Doesn't matter. We start from the back end going backwards.
Going forwards.
Well, whatever. Lo hispik, what if the second guy doesn't have enough to pay everything? Tarfa Mishov, before him. So let's say these three guys now really only have properties worth $200. And now we've got three different creditors demanding different amounts. So we'll have to see which credit. We haven't gotten to this yet. That's next chapter. Who's the creditor has priority? That's the next chapter. But whoever has the priority is going to kick from that. Now look at the Rambam adds. Let's say the last one who bought is a guy who bought Ziburis. So now, the other people who maybe want to get better, but if you're collecting from the last guy, you gotta take what it is. Because the guy who bought before says to the one who wants to collect, he knocked the Chabakum, so I left you a place to collect from that guy. So it doesn't matter. So the ones who are the later property was sold is the first one that has to give up the land that people collect from, even though it may not be such good land. And the creditor, let's say, who loaned the money, says, I don't want to collect from this last guy. This last guy is Ziburis. I don't want Ziburis. Says, well, listen, when I bought the land, I left it with the owner. Yeah. It's not my problem that the owner sold it. And this last buyer is no better than the owner, and he has to pay with that. And that's a good place to end with